Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden. Just 24 hours, 22 hours later, Celtics and the San Antonio Spurs. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. It's happened a lot, particularly in the second half of the year. You called a timeout up 13. They got 5 points, and it wasn't immediate. It was almost a minute and a half after you took the 18-point lead. You called a timeout after they got it to 13. Did you see the beginning then of what was coming?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I thought it started with a couple of tough shots and a turnover. They got running. They made some points in transition. They got us on a couple of actions that we haven't had as much problems guarding in the past. So, obviously you could see that we needed to tighten things up. And, last night was a low point for sure. I mean, that's a loss that you feel like you have the game in control if you play the right way all the way through the game.
There have been times over these years, and it's funny because over the last couple of years we've been talking about comebacks on the other side, but you use the expression, which is relevant in both situations, hitting singles.
Yeah.
And what's interesting to me is that the tendency is for the team that's behind to try and hit home runs as opposed to hit singles, and last night was almost psychologically almost the opposite.
Yeah, but they hit some home runs. I mean, they
played,
they made big shots. They had a bunch of guys make threes in that stretch. They had a bunch of guys do different things. Kimba was great. And, we had 15 possessions where we either turned it over or didn't get a paint threat. Like, those are usually, regardless, you're going to make more than 2 for 20. But, at the end of the day, we just didn't attack the way we had been attacking to get the looks that we had gotten. And then they got going, and, obviously, they controlled the game from there on out. But that's why it's a 48-minute game. We talk about that all the time. Like, you don't get any points for being up at the end of 36.
And it was a strange game. I mean, I'd never seen one in which a 23-5 run the other way had precipitated. It was obviously a very strange finish in a couple of ways. You said the other day, I thought this was really interesting. Max and I just finished talking about some of the defensive numbers, some of the runs, starting with the game after Cleveland before the Laker game, because obviously you got to pick a random spot to start looking at numbers if you're going to try to cut it up in bits and pieces. And you said the other day, the defensive numbers for the whole season remain good, but your eyes are telling you something different.
Mm-hmm.
What are your eyes telling you that the numbers do not indicate?
That we need to be tighter in our system. It starts in transition D. In that 26-5 run, not including the 4 free throws, 8 of those points were in transition. And I think that obviously those are killers. But I think we just need to be tighter in everything we're doing. 5 of the points came on actions that we have usually no trouble guarding. And then, I think it was maybe 7 points came on isolation, and that's going to happen some against good players, but ultimately there are other things that we could have done to control it better, and we just didn't. And you see that throughout the course of the game at different times. This team, for whatever reason, biggest struggle has been maintaining a consistency about it on that end of the floor. I do think that as we come back towards good health at some point, I hope that will become a little bit better, because we'll have more options if it's not going well.
There is another good team on the other side tonight, mm-hmm. which seems like every night. It's funny because people here are focusing on Indiana and Philadelphia, how the Eastern Conference playoff race, and your eyes as a Celtic fan, I think, wander away from the Western Conference playoff race, not noticing, although they have a couple of losses here coming in because James Harden went berserk the other night.
Yeah.
They had won 9 in a row, and the Spurs for the last 3 or 4 weeks have been as good as anybody.
We've played them at the right time twice,
yeah,
haven't
twice.
We? Yeah, they were really rolling in late December, and they're really rolling now. Even that 61-point performance by Harden, which I watched, was just a joke how good he was, and just the shots that he made were incredible. But even then, it was tied at 101 late in the game, and the Spurs had a couple of opportunities to win, but he was just too good that night. But I think that it's a really special culture organization, and I think sometimes what gets lost in the shuffle is how good their players are. Like, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge are both super individual players that you can isolate on pretty much any matchup and get a good shot. And boy, have they done that over and over. And then when they go to their second unit, they play what I would consider to be Spurs basketball, right? The 2013-14 space,
right.
Balls flying all over the court. Guys are flying, bodies are flying. And if you relax for a minute, you're in trouble. I told the guys as we were walking through today, if you're staring at something, you're about to get exposed. If you stare for a second, you're about to get exposed. So hopefully that light bulb goes off as people are staring.
When you say Spurs basketball, here's the interesting thing. Because you mentioned two guys that, in terms of usage rate, they're going to, I don't say dominate the ball, but obviously
yep.
Aldridge and DeRozan are part of it. Yet last night we talked about how Charlotte, even with the coaching change, they had that low turnover thing has sort of continued institutionally. The Spurs, every year, with now personnel having dramatically turned over and featuring two guys who are not elite three-point shooters, continue to lead the league in three-point shooting.
Well, they have elite three-point shooters around those guys, and those guys don't take them. Like, DeMar DeRozan hit a bunch of threes last year in Toronto. This year he's hit 7 on the season. LaMarcus Aldridge has hit 9 on the season. I think the last one he hit was against us, which gives me a lot of pause and fear that both of those guys are going to go, like, 2 for 3 against us tonight.
Didn't Andre Drummond have something like
that? I mean, and you know how it goes. That's just kind of the way it goes. But I do think, like, they play to their strengths, and then everybody else plays around them. I think one of the things that you've always seen DeRozan certainly capable of doing, but one of the things that you really see him doing this year is passing the ball. He is driving it, passing, finding guys, and he draws so much attention that those shooters are getting great looks. Bertans, Mills, Bellinelli, Forbes, those guys are elite shooters. They are, like, when they catch and shoot and they're open, it's going in.
That's the head coach, and not the circumstances under which you wanted to happen, but having Greg Monroe back here, it's a smart, bright, friendly face who really, I thought, fit in well in the room last year.
I'll tell you what, coming in today, you know, obviously you do your best to sleep on it, get over the loss early in the morning, get ready for the next game. In the NBA, you have to be able to move on. But coming in today, the thing I think that got me excited more than anything was just seeing Greg and spending time with him and catching up and seeing how he's doing, how everybody in his life is doing. And it's fun to have guys back. It was the same way when RJ came back. And, you know, that's just a fun part about this.
Karma can always be a good thing. That's the head coach, Celtics and Spurs, next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.